Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
It's an awesome day in the Lord, isn't it?
Amen.
Praise God. And you say, well, it's just another day. Man, this is the day of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to be glad in it. Amen. Hey, sure. Brother Mike. Well, brother was just praying for you over here a minute ago and calling your name out to the Lord. Amen. And aren't you thankful that somebody's going to call your name out?
Amen.
Amen. I'm appreciative for people that pray. Amen. Bible tells us to pray always, pray continually, pray without ceasing. Amen. And we need to be people calling out one another's names.
Amen.
In prayer. Amen. And asking the Lord to consider. Since we're talking about prayer, let's pray one more time. We'll be seated. I know I came up a little early. I'm just going to share a little with you and see if we can find the mind of the Lord tonight. Amen.
Amen.
We all should be in the mind of the Lord. We all should be drawn from that mind and desiring to come to a mind that we can be equal with God. And you say, well, I don't know if we can ever be equal with God. Well, then the Word of God's a lie. Amen. And if you can't believe that you could become equal with Him, then you'll never come to sonship. The sonship's in Him. He said, we can't be equal with Him. Well, He said that in His Word. If you want eternal life, then you'll become equal with Him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the Word. We ask You to help us tonight, Father. Let us say something to challenge somebody, Lord God, to make them consider, to give them a greater expectation, Father, of Your Word, of Your Spirit, of Your way, and of Your mind, Father. Be with us and help us. In Christ Jesus' name. Amen. You can all be seated this evening. I just got home a few minutes ago and went by to visit with Dad a little bit. And they've cut back one of his medicines. They said they notified me about it, which they didn't. And he's really having a pretty tough time. Told me yesterday, he said, well, I got my airplane, flew over to Springfield today and seen my brother John. And there was a time that if I would have come up to him, he told me that, I would have been able to, you know, it's because that was his daily activities and different things. But and he told me I had a real wonderful visit and everything. You know, there's no need to contest. I said, well, that's what he said. You know, my brother John is a good man. I said, yes, he is. And then he said today he just nothing making sense. Started to ask me things and can't keep his thoughts together long. Let's hold him up in prayer and be a blessing to see him going home. Amen. And get out of the somewhat suffering. I guess he's not suffering too bad because he's going along pretty good, out flying his airplane around doing his thing. So maybe he's not doing too bad, but he sure puts a hardship on the nurses and can't keep him settled down. And they're trying different medications and about wear him out. Amen. Just hold him up in prayer. Let's go to the Gospel of John, the 5th chapter. I'm going to get on down there, a couple things on my heart tonight. But we'll just read our way down through the scriptures. When we read about John the Revelator, and there was things that he's seen that was told to seal him up. And, you know, there's things that we like to unveil. But there's some things that can't. Brother Pike was in a vision. And he was bringing things out of a beautiful art room. And he goes, I got to show this to the brother. And he started to go out with him. And he said, the law will get you for that. You can't take these things out of here. And the Lord was showing him something. You know, I could take a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, and I could give him a rifle. He'd receive it just like the 12-year-old would. But he's too young. He has no business with one. And be something that could be for another person could protect life or maybe help their livelihood if they have to hunt. And things could be something that would kill another. And many times, as you know, Brother Chuck working with us in the prisons and things said under Brother Pike a long time. And he said, we've made some terrible mistakes sending some of this stuff into the prison. And a lot of people wouldn't understand that. But when you've been under this ministry for many years and been part of it, and you look and observe, you know, where you look at it, where you've been observing it for a year, 2 years, 5 years, 8 years. And another one, like Chuck, he sat under Brother Pike for 20-some years. And Brother Pike's been gone for about 20 years, and he's been observing, and I likewise. You know, I've been relative to this revelational doctrine and message now for about 28 years. And I could see that it has brought more harm and put more in hell than it's put into kingdom of God. And you know, you say, that's really insulting, Brother Rob, and dangerous. But as I told you, when the Lord spoke to me that my ministry put more people in hell than I would into the kingdom, it tore me up. I said, I don't want nothing to do with this sin. And he asked me to grab a Bible. And he says, that word you got in your hand puts more people in hell than it puts into the kingdom. Wide, broad path to destruction, and one's in destruction is because of this word right here. So it's just a way of analyzation and looking at something. And somebody says, well, you know, I came to bring life and life abundant, you know. I want to be a soul winner, and I do too. But when they reject the soul winning doctrine, then at that point of time, something that you was bringing to them for a blessing became a curse. Brother Pike said there's twins born in every service. You know, and you find one that's relative to their father, the devil, and another one relative to the kingdom. Amen? You know, again, there's skill. The Bible said, ye that win souls are wise. Ye that win souls are wise. And the thing is it's, you know, I could say you that rear up children and raise them up in the way that should go are wise. A lot of people go to that scripture, well, I raised my children up in church, Brother Rob. And the Bible said they will not depart from it. And I said, yeah, you raise them up at church as a hypocrite and you take them home and they watch soap operas. They watch trash on TV. They got all this media stuff pumping in their head and everything. And you say you raise them up in the way they go. I said, that's a lie. You violated the scriptures and the word. Amen. And then on the other hand, we know great men of God that have raised children and raised them properly, kept them unspotted from the world, kept them in private schooling and things, and they ended up being the biggest bunch of dogs ever. It said they would never depart from it. You see, it's going to be pursuing them all their life. And there's going to be something holding them, and they may come in, they may not, but they'll never get away from it. It's going to be right there. You know, you say, well, it means, you know, the way I interpret it, well, they're going to always come back and they're going to be right with God. Well, that's okay. You believe it like that, and that's good. And I'll stand in faith with you and trust for your wayward children and different things of such. But at the same time, there's going to be something right there pursuing them, hearing them. Preacher came out here and banged on my door not many weeks back or maybe months now, I don't know. And he said, I can't get you out of my head. Somebody gave me some of your message. I think Brother Jonathan gave it to him. And he said, you said things I can't get them out of my head. And he goes, I had to come over here. And he said, I come over here just to let you know I'm not in agreement with you, but I can't get you out of my head. Well, I hope it keeps pursuing him. Amen. It keeps pursuing him. I pray and trust he's a miserable man until he repents and gets right with God. Amen. And you know, that's what we pray sometimes. You know, we'll pray for my son. He says, I'm going to pray that he's miserable. I'm going to pray that he's going to get shook on every side. I'm going to pray that God makes him so miserable and that he has to fall on his face and repent. So I'd rather see your son miserable on this side and find repentance with God as go to hell. Amen. So, you know, there's a righteous way to judge the things of God and the word of God. Now, I know I start out making some statements that would sound maybe offensive to some. And I was saying, Brother Chuck said, you know, we got to be careful some of these things we're sending in. And until people learn to really rightly divide the word of God, a workman who do not need to be ashamed, then we got to be careful what kind of doctrine's unveiled. Brother Pike many times spoke in mysteries and parables just as the Lord Jesus. And there'd be many times that I would come to a revelation and understood what he was saying. And I would be thinking, well, why don't you clarify that? But it wasn't meant to be clarified. It's hid from the wise and the prudent. And they'll never comprehend it. Now, we've got many that have been around this ministry, been partakers of this ministry, sat under Brother Pike and personally knew him. And they would have felt like they were with him. They would feel like they were part of him, part of this message. And they never knew him. They never understood him, but they thought they did. They never unveiled or never seen the things unveiled. They never seen beyond the veil or the curtain of time. And they saw into an allegoric realm. And they saw into some things and they took it as the mysteries of God. And there are things that are secret. Some things are so simple. Some of the mysteries are so simple. A secret doesn't necessarily mean it's something complicated. you know, mystery or secret. You can say it either way, a mystery or a secret. And, you know, I might have a secret from you to a combination to a door. But once I unveil the secret to you, it's not complicated. It's four numbers and you can open the door. And there's many things that open up doors. And once you see it and it's unveiled to you, it's like, why was this seem to be so complicated? You know, I've talked with ministers and been opposed by many ministers of different denominations. And it's something as simplistic as Jesus' name baptism. To me, it's elementary. It's A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, and elementary. But this caused my father and I separation for a year. He said, look, I believe what it says in red more so than what it says, you know, over in any other book. Jesus said it himself. He said, it's right here written in red. Jesus said it. And he said, go into all the world, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And he, you know, was from a Trinitarian background, and it caused us to break fellowship. He went through some persecutions and tribulations and some sufferings and things, and he came around to it. Many people, evil communications corrupt good manners, and they'll get around people, and they're afraid to change up something. I shared with you, I had a lady come to this church, and her daddy was a Baptist minister, and he'd passed on. Well, she started hearing this doctrine, and she was listening and drawing from it, and all of a sudden she locked up on me. She says, if I believe what Brother Rob's preaching, my dad's in hell. And that's what she believed. She said, if I believe what he's preaching, my father's in hell. So she just bowed up, and she just locked up on me. I can't hear this. And I went to her. I watched her. I watched it in her spirit locked up, and I went and talked to her. And she opened up and told me, and I said, no. I said, you misunderstand. I said, your dad may not be accountable to this. Maybe no one ever brought it to him. I'd been preaching the gospel and traveling around different states, and I had nobody ever present Jesus' name baptism to me. But I wasn't in their circles. Never heard it in one time. And I wasn't satisfied with the baptism in the other. I'd just done some baptisms, and I wasn't satisfied. There was something in my spirit that wasn't right, and I was reading and searching it out. And when I come to Bethlehem, I looked in there on a rack, and I seen a book. It said, Understand the Doctrine of Baptism. And I grabbed that thing and started reading it. And man, it put me in hell. And everybody I worked with. It was a tough, you know, and I thought, wow, man. But it bared witness with my spirit. And I went to Brother Pike and I said, Brother George, I said, according to your book here, I need to get born again. And he said, oh no, Brother Ron. He goes, you misunderstood something here. He says, simply by the fact that you see it and are coming to it and asking to be baptized properly shows that your name was in the book of life before the world ever was. The other things, I was going through the motions, learning, growing in the grace and knowledge of God. I never rejected it. Not one time when it come to me. When the truth comes, it will set you free. And when you see people, I'm not going to tell you they're not the elect because they've rejected. I've had people fight and reject, even as my father won, and he came to it later on. And people can reject, and you don't number them as a beast just right off the bat. Sometimes they got to go and wrestle and chew on it, as well as you've had about many things. And then they'll come around into it. So let's go over here to John 5, do a little bit of reading. And some of these are very familiar stories to you, and we'll just read on down. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity, 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now long time in this case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the waters trouble to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who he was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. I'm going to go on down here in just a moment, but I want to speak about that just for a moment. It says, Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now, a couple cross-references with other scriptures here, but I'm going to talk about this for a moment. Matthew 12:45 says, Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they entered in and dwell there. And the last state of this man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Now, I want to comment on this just for a moment. I've seen this in so many ways over the years. Now, I've made statements and will vindicate or verify possibly when I said it was better off that some had never heard about Brother George Pike. It would be better if some never heard about a man, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. It would have been better off if some would have never heard of some of these things. Now, I went into an explanation the other day and I was talking about a stepbrother that was an alcoholic, a drunk, a whoremongering dog. And that's what he was known to be. Everything was party to him, partying all the time. But he got saved in a Church of Christ church. Don't do no music. You know, they real big on baptism in the Trinity way. It's a Trinitarian church. Very relaxed. Joel Osteen might even offer some reproof to him, you know, possibly. I'll tell you something, maybe. There's some, you say, well, I know some people in Church of Christ that are okay people. Well, there's several flavors of Church of Christ, just like many flavors of Baptist. But this one was a very liberal church with liberal doctrine. You know, they got their theological institutions and colleges send their men to that, and their hirelings, they're all on a payroll and this and that. It's just a standard fabric of a bunch of slop. The Bible says vomit on the tables of God. And you say, you need to be careful, Brother Rob. There's people that come to God there. Well, there's people that come to God by a fat Santa Claus drinking whiskey, ringing a bell, quoting John 3:16, while people are walking into Walmart. So, you know, I think I know how to speak and what I need to be careful what I speak about. But I said here from the sacred desk the other day, I said the man would have been better off if he was still out there drinking and doping and partying and whoring around because he knew he was lost. But now he's got something that was drawing him towards the kingdom. And he listened, but he got stuck there. And he stayed there and turned very adamant and very religious, very dogmatic, and very lost. Become another hireling. One running at the air and beating at the air and accomplishing nothing. Now that would you say, well, that would fit in this same category. Well, do you remember the last part of what I just read in that scripture? It said the whole generation. Now I'm going to talk about America for a moment. It would have been better off if America, United States of America, never heard the name Jesus Christ. Now, we know there's been a lot of good that's come out of being somewhat of a Christian nation. America's truly never been a true Christian nation. Never in any part of it. If you go and read about the founders and even some of it, you know, but it's all the way through. You know, to say a Christian nation, it was more so at one time than it is now, yes. And that might insult you or offend you. I'm not an anti-American. If you want to ring the bell between the Lord and the Christ, between the Son of Man and the Son of God, between the inner man and the outer man. I'm going to stand here and speak to you as a man. I say, I'm thankful to be American. I'm thankful for my forefathers that fought and the blood that was spilled on foreign soil. And I'm thankful, and I show that. I show that to military. I show that to police. I'm thankful for our police officers. There's a lot of corruption in the police department. I've known corrupt police officers over the years. When I was in business and things that I shouldn't have been in, I know of governments being paid off, police forces being paid off for drug smuggling and everything, and some of us know about right here in our own county or the next county over, Davison County. It was supposed to be one of the most esteemed and the greatest sheriff they ever had here. He was one of the biggest drug runners that ever hit North Carolina. But he was arresting people and trained up a sheriff's department, and they put him into militant-type clothing and different things, and they'd done an excellent job. Done a lot clean, but at the same time, he was running drugs himself, and he was removed. So, you know, brethren, I feel the liberty to speak freely because I've seen and proved out these things and witnessed them and watched them. So I'm going to read just one more time. It says, afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. Amen. Now, I could use a brother in this church's mother for an example, seeking after a healing, sought after a healing, and got blessed, got delivered from cancer. She was a very promiscuous woman. And that's being nice because, honestly, she played the role of a harlot. And you say, well, that's probably pretty harsh. If you look at what you call high-class harlotry, if there's any such a thing, that's an oxymoron if there ever was. But it's like, you know, I'm not going to be standing on a street corner selling myself, but I'll surely give myself and my virtue over to a man that pays my way to Europe, and I go stay over and shacked up with him over on a vacation in Europe for a week. Why? His wife stays at home. That's a whore. I don't care how you measure it out and what you call it. It might be your mama I'm talking about, your sister, your aunt. I'm sorry, she's a whore, okay? And take it up with the Lord. I'm just telling you, that's the way I analyze things. You know, some girls would never consider themselves a whore, but when you let a man buy you a beer and you jump in the sack with them, that's exactly what you are. You know, and you can weigh it out any way that you want, amen? And if you like it, fine. If you don't, that's okay too. Praise the Lord. I'm going to keep preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you that lay with them, you're just a whoremonger. Amen. And you ain't no better. Matter of fact, you're worse because you should have been leading them into the kingdom. Amen. That's some good preaching, if you like it or not. Amen. That's the way it is. Amen. I'm talking about a brother who's hearing his mother got healing and stuff, and then she repented. She's tried to do some things right, trying to turn her life around towards the gospel and things, and went right back at it. And a worser thing come upon her. It came back. They couldn't do anything with it. You say, well, you know, she suffered. Maybe in her suffering, she ceased from sin and made it into the kingdom. Well, you know, I can tell you this. My God's grace, if you're there or I'm there or she's there, it's by the mercy and the grace of God. So I don't necessarily gain anything by putting this woman in hell. I'm just talking factual about things of such. So I now used a man that I would have considered a stepbrother. And I said he'd been better off because a worser thing come upon him. You see, when you reject the word and it's been presented to you and you reject the word, you'd have been better off never to hear it. But as I read on there for a moment, it said, and this man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. I tell you what, to see something, a man laying there for 38 years and you think and you're going to pursue him for doing it. But then they allow a man that oxes in the ditch. Now, if your ox gets out and goes in the ditch, you're allowed to go get your ox out of the ditch on the Sabbath day. And here's a man laid 38 years, crippled. You want to talk about straining out and out and swallowing a camel? Come on now, brother. Let's go on here. Verse 17, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his father, making himself equal with God. Then answered the Jews and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that they may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, verse 24 again. How many people read that and don't really understand what they read there? I'm going to read it again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, my sheep know my voice, okay? Now, when we start breaking down the word was made flesh, walked among us. But we need to understand this word. And believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Is this the word of God? Is this the Bible? Now, they were having troubles with Jesus right there, weren't they? You know, we just read a few verses previous that they wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him for what he said, made himself equal with God. Now, we can go over to another set of scriptures. I'm not going to go there, but yes, we quote it oftentimes. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, in the average churches today, brethren, if you go tell somebody they can be equal with God, they're going to fight you. Now, if you go to your average churches today and you say, as this man, where it said Jesus making himself equal with the Father here, and he said he'd do the same things. But Jesus was speaking about you. Right here, he's speaking to you about you, that you have passed from death unto life. Amen? He's talking about you here. He left this thing about him, and he's speaking to the sons of God, correct? He's saying, hey, you've passed from death unto life. And he goes over in another place in the Gospels, and it says, greater things shall you and I do than what he has done. Now, people have a problem with that. And I've taught on that so many times. I love to teach that out in the evangelistic field because, man, people automatically lock up with you, man, just like this. I mean, if you want to lock up a congregation, you go up there and say, I've done greater things than Jesus. Boy, they're ready to stone you right now. Amen. But if I can't say I've done greater things than Jesus did, then would that violate the scriptures? Somebody has to do it, right? Well, why couldn't it be me? And people say, man, Brother Rob, I'd stay away from that. Well, most preachers do. Most preachers are going to run from that and stay clear as that as they can. And you say, well, how can you do something greater than what he did? Because he had to die to bring the covenant that I could do what I'm doing now with him in me. It could not be done until his death. So he no longer lived, but now he lives in me. And he lives in you. So see, now we're talking about God was, God is, and God is to come. So who's doing the great things? It's still him doing it. God appearing in another form. So we say God was, God is, and God is to come. So if you want to talk about God was, we see God was manifested, walked among men, made himself known, revealing himself. Amen. Speaking with an authority that him and his Father, he would do the same thing as his Father. He said, you see his Father's works in him. So now I come in the same strength and power of witness. The Bible said that when they were filled with the Holy Ghost to make them witnesses, right? What do you think that is? You think it's going to be somebody in a jury seat? You know, to be witnesses. Now think about it. If I saw an act committed and they called me forth before a jury and they're going to ask me questions, I say I witnessed it myself. Amen? Now you say, well, you know, witnessing, Brother Rob, is when I go out and share Jesus with people. But you know, a lot of times you think sharing Jesus is talking to people. But it don't do no good because they haven't witnessed him. When they witness him, then they could receive. But if they haven't witnessed him, they can't receive. He said, some of you, you know, he says, hey, you praise me with your mouth, but your heart's far from me. See, they never witnessed. When that statement was made to them, they never witnessed. But let me tell you something. When somebody sees that you are not no longer living as a man, thinking as a man, talking as a man, with anger and vengeance and wrath and malice, maliciousness, drunkenness, idolatry, fornication, amen, hate and malice and jealousy and envy and strife and backbiting and bickering and talebearing, amen, and they don't see that in you, then they're witnessing something else because that's the nature of man. And they're going to witness Christ in the earth. And when they witness Christ, then they could hear his word. Amen? And the word will draw them. So many times we misread the scriptures or misunderstand them. We could turn over the scripture. I'm going to go back to the scripture. It says, greater things shall you and I do than what he did. And that's simple to understand because he had to die and come forth as the first begotten son from the dead. And he was the firstborn of many brethren. He had to do that because there was no abolishing or no victory over death. So now he fulfilled that and did that and filled us with his spirit. He said it's necessary for him to go back to the Father, that he could send one back, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. So when he sent back the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, amen, it's God in the earth. He's the firstborn of many brethren. How many are brothers of God? I mean, come on, brother. Beloved, now you are the Son of God. So who's our Father? We have the same Father. Amen? Now, you were born as a blood seed of a natural father, yes. And you have a different father, naturally speaking, than that. But we all come in common here. We all have the same Father. Amen? So as a natural man, you were born after the blood seed of corruption. Amen. Do you realize Jesus didn't have corruptible blood in him? Amen. He didn't have the corruption of a blood seed of a man or the semen of a man. He was born of the Spirit. Is that correct? Okay, well, I've been born of the Spirit. Now, if you want to talk about my first birth, I was born after my father. Okay, you can find some resemblances. You know, some look more like their fathers than others, but there's resemblances in the natural thing. But brethren, if you've been born of the Spirit, been born of the same Father Jesus, then we're going to see the same attributes in you that we saw in him. Now, here's some distinction type here that, you know, you might see a man walking in strength and authority and power and a father, and you see his three-year-old boy stumbling around. You say, well, he's really not like his father. Well, give him a chance to grow up. He's watching, he's observing. But you'll see him transforming and molding to that and coming forth to that. So, this is what our profession is. You see, we have to have a profession of the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ being the high priest of our profession. Our profession is that we're not born of flesh and blood. We're born of spirit. Amen? That's our profession. Our profession is we've passed from death unto life. Right here is just one of the few of many scriptures, but it's passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, okay, are you hearing the word? He said to some, he said, though you have ears, you do not hear. But I'm not going to number myself with them. I'm hearing and I'm listening. And he blessed me with eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say unto the churches, right? So it says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the Father, our Heavenly Father, the invisible one, sent him into the earth, and he was born of the Spirit, not by man. Okay, and he dwelled with him in the fullness. And this invisible God, this invisible Father that no man has seen, had come to fruition, revelation, understanding, and is seen in the attributes and the manifestation through the Son, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Okay, so right here, and he says, and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. The Bible said, ye that are born again, born of the Spirit, there is no condemnation to them who not walk after the flesh. Now, when you walk after the flesh, you're going to have condemnation. I've heard many people say, oh, man, I'm not condemned by that. Oh, yeah, to the pure, all things are pure. You see, this is where this doctrine gets dangerous. People sit and listen to this doctrine, and they tell you, I'm born of God, I cannot sin. And they continue living as a dog in the world. And they'll quote this kind of doctrine saying, well, I'm born of God, I can't sin. Oh, to the pure, all things are pure. Man, it don't bother me to do this. I've met a lot of them, brethren. I've met so many men that came up from under this thing, but they had the love for the world. Amen. But right here it says, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. If a man doesn't come to condemnation when he's walking wrong, you can't say he's walking in the Spirit. Because that condemnation would lead him. Now, I know conviction will lead you to repentance. But I'm going to tell you something. And here's where we've got to really understand some things when we start swapping dimensions around. The Bible says, you know, ye that are born of God again, he said, you do not have a spirit of error. And see, we could take that thing. Now, if I go into the spirit dimension alone, there is no error there, brethren. I promise you that. But in the second dimension, brethren, there's a warfare and a battle and a fight going on in the second blood realm dimension. And there's a transformation there, a birthing there. There's a lot of things happening, very active realm. And you could be a blood-bought, born-again elect of God. Now, the way you speak is, I have no sin. I pass from death unto life. I'm living forever. Nothing can be laid to my charge. Nothing can touch me. Amen. I'm already made it. I'm already there. Amen. Nothing can pluck me out of his hand. That's the proper way to speak. That's a profession of the works of Jesus Christ, what he done for you. And that's the way you should speak. But the Bible said, make your calling and election sure. Now, why did that have to be put in there? So now you're saying the right thing, but he says, you profess me with your mouth, but your heart's far from me. Your heart ain't going to be far from him, brethren. When you're the true elect of God, your heart won't be far from him. Your heart's going to be right there with him. Amen. And you're going to be moldable, pliable. You're going to be able to receive correction, reproof, rebuke, and exhortation, because you know it's going to make you grow thereby in the grace of God and the favor of the Lord. When we start rending some of these dimensional barriers here, trying to comprehend and understand who we are. Now, if you go out here in your religious world or just an everyday conversation, you're out here on a job working or sitting in a break room drinking a cup of coffee, the guy says, hey, can I sit with you? Yeah, I'm a God. It's going to go over real well, ain't it? I'm doing greater things than Jesus done. You know what's going to happen? You're going to get stoned. Just like they did him. They're not going to like you. They're not going to have any good things to say about you. So, when Jesus here goes into this man, okay, and he's there by the pool, waiting for the waters to be stirred, he's commanded him. He said, take up thy bed and walk. And what did Jesus do? He headed out, didn't he? He didn't even tell him who he was, did he? Because he knew what would happen. So this man, you know, Jesus sees him later in the temple and he gives him another exhortation. Okay, hey, now you've been healed, but go and sin no more. Still searching for this man's soul. Still trying to reach this man. Here's a man that laid for 38 years. Come on. Now I get him walking. Boy, you think, man, I'm a son of God, huh? But he said, hey, sin no more. Still reaching for this guy. Okay, man, praise God you got a healing. But when the 70 that Jesus sent out, when he sent them out, they come back and they were rejoicing and having a great time, boy. Little charismatic. Woohoo, man, praise God. The devils are subject unto us. And he said, rejoice. That your name be in the book of life. There's something far greater than the healings, than the gifts moving, than the abilities to preach, the abilities to quote the word and speak the word and talk the word. There's something greater than that. Because the master of deception's been doing that for a long time. There's multiplied hundreds of multimillionaire preachers around America, man, that all they are is hirelings, and they use this thing to make a gather place, and they're trying to convince you that they got some greater revelation or understanding of God, and they've never seen him, nor met him, nor know him. They just parrot his word, and the whole world follow after it. You see, there's something in you as a yearning, a drawing when you're the elect of God, and you're drawn to the word. You hear somebody speaking the word, you're going to automatically draw to it. And you're going to have a drawing there, but you need to be careful. Amen? You got to be careful and you got to be kind. There's so many exhortations through the New Testament of cautions and things. When you get down into revelational doctrine and teaching, you're going to find a very, 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 very small flock that will hear you and listen to you. Now, there's many that take it out of context and out of order that don't understand dimensional projection whatsoever at all. And they take it to themselves as a man, and they make themselves better than you. And I'm blessed of God, you're not. If somebody's in your presence that you don't think's blessed of God, it's your requirement and your obligation to bring the blessings of God to them. So if there's something in your spirit makes you think you're better than somebody, you've never come to the revelation of Jesus Christ, because he's reaching to the uttermost. He's reaching down. Now, there's some fine lines again here. You know, you see that there's people I've worked with for years, and then all of a sudden I put them out. And you say, well, where's that love that you're talking about, Brother Rob? That is love for the other people. If you have to remove a tailbear to stop the strife, then that's the love for the people, to keep peace in the house of God, in your church. Amen. If it says to remove them, how else am I going to do that? It's going to be an action, isn't that correct? Do we leave them here in the church and we all go somewhere else? We know we can't do that. So there's the Bible. The Bible teaches them, you know, there's some are exiled. You know, he talked about, what was it, Himalayas, I believe, and Philetus or something. And he said, mark them. You know, it started out till Mark came. And he said to mark these men. Amen. They're going to be causing troubles and bringing in heresy and false doctrines. You know, some people are so afraid to say, well, man, I got to be careful. I'm not going to speak against God's elect. You know, another place scripture says, you know, that they wouldn't even bring a railing allegation against the devil. You know, we need to get an understanding with this. You know what I'm saying? Some people are too loose and they'll be talking about something. They don't know what they're talking about. And they can put judgment of God down on their head. But brethren, when you see, if I had some Catholics in here, I'd say the Pope's of the devil. They'd say, oh man, you better be careful. No, you better be careful. The Pope is of the devil. If they bring any other doctrine what Jesus Christ preached, they'd let him be accursed. Well, you think a cursed thing is, it better be a devil. Come on now. People don't understand angels. They don't understand devils. They don't understand demons. They don't understand Antichrist. They don't understand the beast. They don't understand the false prophet. And they go through religion and they go through these things and they don't understand them. You know, they don't understand the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost on the positive side. The Antichrist, the false prophet, and the beast, the mirror. And they don't. And people go through church all their life and really can't even explain the Godhead to you. And then they'll dispute with you. When you tell them to baptize in Jesus' name, a dear friend of mine, I traveled with him for years preaching the gospel. And I come to this revelational doctrine and he told me, he said, Brother Rob, you're going to stand before Jesus someday and the Father and the Holy Ghost. You're going to stand before these three persons and they're going to be very offended with you. Because when you go down and baptize somebody in the name of Jesus, you're offending the Holy Ghost and you're offending the Father. That's what he told me. And I thought, wow. But you see, this has been drilled into his spirit all of his life. That there's a three-person Godhead. Amen. And you won't find that in the scriptures, nowhere. Amen. And then you get some of the oneness people, and I'm not numbering myself with oneness or threeness or two-ness. Like Brother Pike said, there's more doctrine for two-ness. But you get some of the oneness people, and they won't even mention the Father. And they're just Jesus only. And it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And you say, well, if they're all one and the same, what's wrong with that, Brother Rob? But see, then the problem with that is when a guy comes to you with the scriptures and it says, Brother Rob, it says right here in the scriptures that these three are one. What are you going to do with that? And I'm going to say, yay and amen. If somebody comes to me and said, do you believe in the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost? And I say, yes, sir, I do. I preach it and teach it and I understand it. But see, they can't get it in their head that it's not persons. Amen. And so oftentimes in speaking that way, here's a, we got people tuning in and different things. We're talking about the Godhead now. Body, soul, and spirit. Brother Melvin's body, soul, spirit. John's body, soul, spirit. Every man and woman in here, body, soul, and spirit. Does that make you three persons? Okay, so now your spirit leaves your body. And it said that when you're, and your body's considered dead now. Is that the spirit that left, is it dead? Well, you know better than, yes, that's right. No is the correct answer, but you know better to say it's dead. Okay, so the spirit now left this body. Is that a person? Or is the person down there dead? And see, people will fight these things and dispute it. And we say so oftentimes personification is a form of the word person. And it's when an invisible spirit comes into a bodily image and it shows itself and reveals itself in a body. That's a personification. And it's been personified in that body. And this is why we change the function of the Holy Spirit is the Father that had not ever dwelled within a flesh and tabernacle. So it's the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Holy Spirit entered into the body, the perfect body, without sin, without blemish, and walked in this body and revealed himself, it was the Holy Spirit. But when it come forth out, it was then termed as the Holy Ghost because it had been personified. So you say, well, the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost are one and the same. And I say, yea and amen, because the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost are one. These three are one. But as we differentiate them, there's a difference. The Holy Spirit would be previous to the personification or coming into the body of Jesus. And then when the Holy Ghost come forth out, he gave up the ghost. And then when he sent, he said, go and tarry there until I send back the Comforter. What is the Comforter? It's the Holy Ghost. Amen. And he said again, and I'm repetitive, I know, but he said, the same spirit that dwells within Jesus Christ shall dwell in your mortal body. The same spirit that was in Jesus Christ shall dwell in your mortal body. So what you see here is mortality. But I got the same spirit that was in Jesus, which is the Father. We could go on four or five books up in John. And he says, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? Now the scriptures say that no man has ever seen the Father. Amen? But then Jesus turns around and says, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? So he said, I and the Father are one. The Father's within me and I'm within the Father. And then he goes on to say that I'm in you and you're in him. So how are you going to remove that? This is what happens to us in the fullness of being born again. We become one with him. So the Bible said it's no longer the man speaking, but God speaking through him. So what are we? We're the voice of God in the earth. I've talked to each and every one of us. I could come over here and say, yes, it's no longer me speaking, but it's Christ. And you say, oh man, I don't know. And I say, but that's you. That's for each and every one of us. Is God a respecter of person? What he does for one, he'll do for all. And the only thing that hinders it is your unbelief and your doubt. So let's go back over here to John a minute and make sure we're done right here in this part. So this is where I stopped at in 24. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. The Bible says that we were dead in our trespasses and sin, but we heard the voice of God. Is that correct? Amen. And we shall live. We hear and we shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given it to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him the authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So we're talking two resurrections. Amen. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Okay, so you want a good scripture for rending the veil of these people that have come to this revelational doctrine that are saying many of the things that I'm saying, that stand before people and always want to get all enthused and talking about this word? This verse 30 right here would be a very good passage of scripture. It says, I can of my own self do nothing as I hear. I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Now, Jesus, when he's in Gethsemane, said he sweated blood there, and he stood before the Lord. He said, nevertheless, let your will be done. See, he learned obedience through suffering right then. Right there was just one of the places. Because, you know, it was no man's will to go through the suffering that he knew was ahead of him. But he said, nevertheless, let your will be done. But could this cup pass from me? But nevertheless, you see, many people pick and choose what they want. They pick their ministries. They pick their churches. They pick where they go. They pick who they talk to, who they fellowship. You never come to sonship. Never. When you do what you want, you're following your own will. When you do what you want and go where you want and you're making all the decisions, you're lost. You got to come to a place that you could totally surrender your sovereignty. Amen. And, you know, many people say, well, you know, I'm a man, bless God, and I'll make my decision to do this. I don't need no minister, this, that. And I said, you're exactly right. But you're going to come to a revelation that God only works through man. And when he's leading you and talking to you, he's doing it through a man. So you're following a man no matter what you say. And you're going to be following your man or another man. And that's the only way you're going to get the word and the only way the word's going to come to you. Amen. So when you get so puffy and haughty and arrogant that you can't follow a man, you're in the most dangerous place that you can ever find yourself in. I can't, I'm going to read 30 again. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So it would appear here, if you're listening, that he's listening before he judges. The very first part of this saying, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. I make judgment because, bless God, I'm a preacher, you know, hallelujah, man, I'm judging you. Boy, you better be hearing from God. You better be listening. You know, you might be putting judgment on God's elect. He said he gave judgment to the Son of Man, didn't he? We're sons of men and sons of God. People see us as son of men, but we got the judgment of God laying in our members. Amen. Praise God. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Goes right along with 30 there. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was burning in a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Amen. We're the children of light, brothers. Amen. I tell you, I love the scriptures. Amen. And I hope this latter part of this reading right here, it says, he was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Why did he say it like that? You were willing for a season. We know what happened to John, correct? And when these people come, and boy, the judgment came down on him, but they pulled away from him just like they did Jesus when judgment came down on him. Amen. We're the children of light. The children of light are going to bear witness to the light. You know, when we start talking about spirits and angels and stars and candlesticks, you see, we need to get some revelation of some of these things. We need to understand these things. You know, the Bible again says, you've heard me speak on it many times, it says, you know, beware when you entertain strangers unaware. Beware, it could be an angel. And you know, people, again, in the religious realms, you know, they all have the stories. Well, you know, I heard my grandma in a wreck and the car caught on fire and this guy showed up out of nowhere and the man, all of a sudden he was gone. The fire department seen him and the police there seen him and all of a sudden he's gone, don't know where he is. And he just came out of nowhere and he dragged her out of the car and said, he's an angel. Well, praise God. Man, I love those kind of stories also. But if that's your understanding of an angel, you're shallow. You haven't learned anything. You haven't heard the word of God. You haven't seen good when good comes. And the thing is again, we talk about the appearing of God, the coming of the Lord. And people are saying, well, you know, Brother Robbie, I know that the eastern sky is going to roll back like a scroll and we're going to see the Son of God, you know, and we're going to see him coming back on white horses with a whole host. I say, yay and amen. But if that's what you're waiting on, you're shallow. See, that's going to offend a lot of people right there. I'm sorry. But let me tell you something. The coming of the Lord, brethren, is every time two or three get together in his name. And the only reason I say you're shallow, I'm trying to insult you into thinking, you know, and I'm not coming against the coming of the Lord in that aspect. But I'm saying if you're going to sit around for 2,000 years and wait for that, you've missed his visitation every day.
Amen.
Amen. You've missed it every day. See, this is the doctrine of the churches of America today. You know, someday the Antichrist is going to reveal himself over here in the temple, making himself to be God. He's going to take over and rule the whole earth. And they're waiting on this to come. But brother, I mean, it's already happened. I told you I'd take you over to Matthew 24. We can go line upon line right down through Matthew 24. The whole church is reading it as something to come. And I read it as something that's already taken place. I read it as something that is taking place, something that is going to take place, and something that has taken place. God was, God is, and God is to come. Amen. See, if you could learn that, you could understand something. When you start trying to understand God, brothers, you're going to see that he was and is to come. So what we look at, okay, what do you mean God was? God was. He was before the beginning. God manifested and walked among men and revealed himself and showed himself. God is to come. He's going to come as we see here portrayed in a picture, coming in the eastern sky and coming back to the Jews. And he's going to be in the same image that he went off of Mount Olivet. He's going to be in the same image. So why do you gaze here in the sky? In like manner, he's coming back. Okay, that's him to come. But let's talk about the God that is. Okay, so you say, well, where is this God that is? Well, he said that he's in you. Amen. You know, I mean, we get down into the shallowest of ministries. They say, you know, Jesus, come into my heart. The kingdom of God's within me. Well, where's he at? Okay, he's in me. That means he's here. Amen. But they don't think on that and talk about that and fellowship around that. They don't fellowship on the power of God in the earth. They don't fellowship on the voice of God in the earth and that we are the light and the light of the world, that we've already passed from death unto life. According to the scripture, we're just reading them. I've already passed from death. I'm not seeking after salvation. I am salvation. I'm not looking for eternal life. I am eternal life. Amen. I'm not being pursued from death by death. I've already passed from death unto life. So you look at the vanity of this man and you say, man, it's aging. You know, it's got problems and complications. Why do you observe the lying vanities? There is an eternal quickening spirit living and dwelling. Amen. Within me, where has all power and authority to bind things on earth and in heaven. Amen. You see, this is my profession because I'm a son of God. I've been born again. Now, brother, the Bible says a wise man concealeth the matter. And these things that we're speaking about, you know, we'd like to shout them from every rooftop and everywhere, but people have got to be taught and indoctrinated. One thing is this doctrine is very dangerous when people ain't under a pastor because they don't have somebody to correct them when they get arrogant, haughty, and puffed up and lifted up in their own self. Knowledge puffeth up. Was that all it does? Well, puffed up, if that's all we're going to do by gaining is knowledge, you get puffed up, that means we're cast out. As Lucifer, cast out of heaven. So there's got to be something more to knowledge than puffed up. But this is the rending the veil of knowledge. There's a knowledge that catcheth up. There's a knowledge that puffeth up. Amen. A caught up knowledge is catching you up to the throne of God and drawing all men unto you, because you're lifted up to the cross being crucified all the day long. You see, people don't think God proves them. I could take you through the old scriptures or the Old Testament, take you to scriptures where God proved them. What about Gideon's army? Man, these were valiant men. They've proven themselves. They fought. But now they have a big host coming against them. But God said, well, let's prove them. So he takes them down, says, no, you're out. No, you're out. No, you're out. And he thinned them down, didn't he? They was already looked like a losing battle. It didn't look like there was any way, but God thinned them out. He proved them out, didn't he? I'm telling you something. God's proven you today. Seeing what kind of endurance you have, what kind of strength you have. Amen. And as I tell you so many times, when something comes against you and people come against you, you resist it. When you should be opening up your arms like Jesus did on the cross. Say, go ahead, drive the nails in. And when people see you willing to suffer for them, to bring love to them and help to them, and you're not defending yourself, and they see that kind of suffering in you, they're going to say, there's something different in that man. He must be what he's saying we are. See, if I preach we are the sons of God, beloved, now you are the sons of God, and if we pass from death unto life, people better see something different in me, brother. You understand that? They got to see something different. If they don't see anything different in you, then your words are vain and just a sounding brass. Oh, I want to be a soul winner, Brother Ron. That means you walk as one. You have the wisdom of one. You know when to conceal. You know when to shut up. You know when to speak. You know when to move. You know when to stay away. And because we're the sons of God and we're led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Can we read on just a little bit more? I'll try to finish out this chapter. You say, I thought we was going to get into some revelation. Well, the only way you can get into revelation is by hearing the unseen, the unheard, the unaudible. You know, revelation comes by the unaudible. You want to see? It comes by knowing how to see the invisible. Amen. You'll never see it in the way that you're looking for it. It's hid from you in that way. And what you got is a shadow. Amen. An allegory. Amen. There's something that the allegory points to. There's something that the shadows point to. There was a light and then an object. And the object, when light hit the object, it made the shadows. That's all types and shadows are. You're seeing a shadow of the object. But you're better on to look on the object. But the object is done away with by the light. So then you, after you've come to the object, then you've got to learn to see the light. And we're the children of light, the creatures of light. And old things have passed away and all things come new. So when do we become this light? We are the light. Amen. And darkness comprehended it not. And gross darkness has come into the world that we're in. And they can't see good when good comes. And it's hid from them because they're blind. See, a blind man could look at the sun all day and never see it because he's blind. And there's people that look upon us as light and they don't have eyes to see nor ears to hear. Amen. He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice, speaking of Brother John. But I have greater witness than that of John's. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and you have not this word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him, you believe not. That's a strong rebuke. We don't want everyone to hear that, do we? Amen? Strong words of exhortation. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, yet you might have life, that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But ye, if you believe not his writing, how shall you believe my words? Pretty powerful. Now, can we take this out of Babel one more time? But I've got plenty of other scriptures to back this up. Now, if we go from verse 39 down back down to 47, and let's remove Jesus out of this and put Brother Zach in there. He says, blaspheming, brother. That's what they called Jesus. They said he was blaspheming because he said him and his Father were one. Now, the Bible said, I and the Father are one. Amen. The Father's within me and I'm within the Father. So let's remove Jesus and put Brother Ed in there. Sister Stephanie in there. Okay, we read these scriptures. And then let me ask you, would it change any iota whatsoever at all? The Bible said, what you do to the least of these, my brothers, what you done unto me. So search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You say, Brother Rob, you're arrogant. Brother Rob, you're haughty. Brother Rob, you're lifted up. Brother Rob, you're blaspheming against God. I and the Father are one. Jesus taught us that. He said we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Amen. The Bible said, beloved, now ye are the sons of God. Amen. So they came and asked Jesus. They said, he said, you know, I was in the hospital and you visited me not. I was in prison. And I said, oh, wait a minute. When was you in the hospital? He said, what you done to the least is what you done unto me. Now, I say things to make people come to a revelational thinking. As I say, you could go back and Jesus knocked on the door and a man opens up the door. And he says, hey, I know who you are. You're Jesus of Nazareth. He said, yeah, you're a carpenter's boy, ain't you? Well, you know what? I don't want nothing to do with you, and slam the door in his face. Reject life. But I'm telling you this, it is no different. Brother Melvin goes up and knocks on the door and said, hey, I've been in prayer. I know you're my neighbor, and God's really put you on my heart. I've been praying for you. I wanted to come over and see if there's anything I could do to help you. I really have a burden for you, and I love you. The guy says, well, you're a Christian. I don't want nothing to do, man. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in you, and I don't believe in your God, and I don't believe in this. Slams the door in his face. I'm going to tell you something, church. It is no different. The judgment the same to that man as one is shut in Jesus' face and one shut it in the Son of God's face today. No difference whatsoever. Now, I know you have troubles with that. People have a problem with that. And you say, well, Jesus was without sin, Brother Ron. And the Bible said, ye that are born of God cannot sin. We have no sin. And you say, well, you know, Jesus, you know, when he was here, you know, he didn't come with corrupt blood. Amen. I say, yea and amen. And he had without measure. The difference in Brother Melvin or Brother Rob or any of you here is we come in measure. But we have enough measure, brethren, to bring life. Amen. Or everything God did was in vain. And we bring life and life more abundantly. And the thing is that we have got to kill out. You say, well, if there's some 30-something, so I'm satisfied with 30. Well, if you're satisfied with 30, you're going to hell. And you may never even seen anything close to 30. But you know, what I'm saying is we're pressing to the mark of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. Amen. That's what we're all doing. We're pushing for the mark. We're pressing. We're fighting the good fight of faith. We have endurance in us to press our way into the kingdom. We have a love for the people to endure the hardships as a good soldier and to do good to them that despitefully use us, to do good to them that hate you. And if I can't see that in your life, then there's something wrong. Well, I like this brother, but I don't like that brother. Well, fellowship, some people are harder to fellowship. I could tell you that. Amen. Some people are more difficult to fellowship. But if you pull off in your little sects and your little things, man, you got a real problem. We're a brotherhood. What if Jesus done that to you? What if Jesus drawed back from you and didn't want to fellowship you? Well, you know, this brother over here, you know, he tithes more. And this brother over here, more faithful to church than you are. And this brother over here. And what if he just fellowshiped that and left you out on your own? Maybe that brother, the things that you don't like about fellowshipping him, maybe if you fellowshipped him, you could bring him out of those things by loving him and helping him, by perfecting him. Amen? There's some fine lines here. You know, there's a time that when a brother walks disorderly, the Bible said to break fellowship with him. Amen? Some of us are harder to like than others. Gosh. Well, I'm telling you, it's the truth. I could be probably one of the nicest guys you ever met, and I could probably be one of the biggest jerks you ever ran into. Yeah. Hush, I read. Got a few smiles out of that one. All right. We made it all the way down to the bottom there, didn't we? And I started going back up, and I said you could take those scriptures and apply yourself in it. You have to, brethren. You have to put yourself there. If you don't put yourself there, you've lost everything that Jesus brought us. We're a new creature. The old things passed away, all things become new. Amen, we're a new creature. We're no longer numbered in the sin debt of man, in the death of man. It's a point when a man wants to die, and then the judgment. Judgment begins in the house of God. You come to the house of God, you receive the judgment, and you die and kill that man out. We kill Brother Melvin. We kill Brother Rob. We kill Brother John. Amen. We kill out. We're not, as the scripture I read there in Melville, we're not walking in our own will. And when you're doing everything that's just what you want to do and it's pleasing to you and it's what you want to do, you've never seen God or known God. We're servants of God. Amen. We follow His will. He might move you out of your land. He might take you out of your country. You know, we're at His will. We follow Him. We listen to Him. Amen? And we learn obedience by the things we suffer. Amen? And we're pressing our way into the kingdom. Any questions before we close service tonight? Yes, sir. Well, you got to think of the people that he was standing before when he said that. Now, on this, okay, that we read tonight? Okay, let me back up there. It says, but I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. Well, in looking at this, if I'm reading these scriptures as a heathen that isn't saved, that don't know the Lord, amen? If I'm reading it that way, I'm going to read it in such a way to bring Christ into my life. I'm speaking to brethren here tonight that have a profession of Christ and faith. I believe everybody in this church would have that kind of a profession tonight. That, hey, I'm a son of God and I've been born of God and I'm a child of God. Some of you haven't brought forth the fruit of that. But in verse 34 it says, but I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not the testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Now you understand, John was the forerunner and a witness to Christ. We saw the people follow John. We saw John with a boldness. Amen. It said that it spoke of John and his boldness. We know what happened. He was beheaded. But the people backed off and backed away. But even John turned the people away from him when he brought to him Jesus. See, this is what we many times run the same pattern. The law and the prophets unto John and the kingdom of God preached. A lot of times we could bring, you know, there was men. And I'm sorry to say this. Brother Pike didn't allow it. He said this is what brought Brother William Branham down. To bring him to shut his days down earlier than he should have. And it says because men started worshiping the man. And Brother Branham went off the scene at one point because people started baptizing in his name. Brother Steve Strategus, me and him had a big cross up right there at Little Bethlehem. Matter of fact, I was up here in North Carolina picking up some seats, taking them back, riding in a motorhome with him and Brother George's son. And he's telling me, goes, hey, he said, I pray in George Pike's name. I said, you're a fool. I told him straight out. I said, you're ignorant. And he said, Brother George's blood went out on the cross of Calvary. And that's the truth. Mine did too, and so did yours if you're a son of God. Because we were crucified with Christ at Calvary, and the life that we now live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God. So there was a truth that he was saying there, but he perverted it, because there's no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved, and that's the name Jesus Christ. It's not George Pike, it's not Brother William Branham, it's not Billy Sunday, it's not Joel Osteen, and it isn't, you know, we'll go, if you don't go down to the seven church age messengers, it wasn't Martin, it wasn't Wesley. You know, it wasn't Brother Branham, amen. It wasn't none of them. It was Jesus and his name, him alone. Okay, there is a fine line there. See, a man think he come to a great revelation, but it came into a thing wanting to present something that he thought I didn't know, for I could draw to him. Well, let me present this as the way I pray. I pray in George Pike's name. He's an idiot. Amen. There's one mediator between God and man is Jesus Christ, and that's how we pray. And I'm still, you know, dealing with this thought, which Brother Zach, you know, saying here. But at this point, you see, Brother Pike would take a man like that. And he told me, he said, I went to him, talked with him. And I was crossed up. We got crossed up and I just went to him. He said, be careful, Brother Rom. He said, because there's a fine line in some of these things. But he said, the man ain't nothing but of the devil. And he said, he's nothing but a troublemaker and he's of the devil. You know, I won't go on all the things that he said. But that was, I didn't need my pastor to tell me that because I know the word of God. And I was growing in the grace and knowledge of God. But that's gross air for a man to tell you those kind of things. The blood going out is correct. And hopefully Brother Steve has changed from that point of time. I would hope to think so. Amen. I give him the grace for doing so. But those are the things that destroy people and make people run from this doctrine. And I see so much foolishness out there. You know, I've been dealing with some men in another prison over here, some of the ones that's come out from under some of this men I'm talking about. And they're selling dope. I'm not talking about what I told you about a few months ago. It's still taking place today. They're selling dope and drugs and cigarettes. The guy came to me and he said, Brother Rob, you won't believe the kind of money that they're making. And they think God's blessing their dope selling business in prison because they're giving the money to the man of God. And they think that God's blessing them. You say, what do you say about that, brother? I'm saying what I need to say about it. It's of the devil. Brother, you can't do no ill-begotten things. It's called filthy lucre. And if you are a man of God and you love the Lord with all your heart, you will not take the filthy lucre. So if you receive the filthy lucre, it's a manifestation and a proof that you're not of God. Amen. And you say, well, what is filthy lucre? Well, I'll guarantee you one thing. If you want to see some filthy money, you take drug money. That's filthy lucre. Amen. And when somebody robs something, if somebody steals this guy's car, And he comes to me and he says, hey, man, I got a good deal on a car. And I say, well, my God's good. Man, look at God blessing me, man. I'm buying this $5,000 car for $500. Ooh, man, God's good for me. No, God's going to burn your fields, brother. That's filthy lucre, that car, because you know it was stolen and it's filthy and God's going to curse it and it's never going to work out for you. Amen, if you're a son of God. Now, if you ain't a son of God, you'll just go on rejoicing and everything's good. Because God, he does not chasten the bastard. You understand that? That's the Bible. He said, the bastard chides without chastening. Amen? That's not a filthy word, brother. The people of America made the word bad. Now you go call somebody a bastard, you're cursing. But a bastard child is one without a father. And the Bible said we got the spirit cries, Abba, Father. Amen? And if you don't have that Abba, Father in your spirit crying out, then you're a bastard child. That means there's no chastening of the Lord in your life. And you'll just go on through this world because the blood's on the mercy seat and you'll just live and boy, you'll be thanking Jesus and you'll be going, hallelujah, glory be to God. Boy, my God is good. Give me another whore. Give me another joint. Give me another snort. You know, give me whatever. And you think that you're a son of God and you're a child of God and you're boasting in the scriptures and boy, you're walking tall, but you're nothing but of your father, the devil. because there's no spirit there to bear witness of the light. We have Jesus when he was here, to verse, back up with that verse 34 right there, same thing he said. He said, hey, some of you have eyes, but you do not see. There were some there that did see. And there was ones that were looking at him thinking, well, I see you, so you must, you know, must not be talking to me. But they didn't see. There's people, brethren, that don't see God in me. So is it my, am I the problem? And I'll take it first to myself and say, I need to walk a better, tighter life. And that's where I'm going to go first. But I'm going to tell you something. If you remember the message I preached a few years ago, and I said, you don't know who you are because you don't know who they are. And if I can't esteem each and every man in this church as a child of God in Christ, that his blood was good enough for that man, then I'll never see it in my own life. Never. And you say, what about the one that's out there in the dope and the drugs and the alcohol and the whoremongering? I said, brother, when I meet that man, I'll look at him beyond the veil, thinking that, you know what, Jesus did die for that man, and I'll love him. And I'll put the bread on the water, see if it returns. I'll see if there's something relative there. I don't want to be guilty. The other night, if you remember, I ministered a message. And in the message, I was saying many things. You know, like, well, the Bible said if you see evil coming against sin, you don't cry out against it, that you'll have their blood on their hands. But then yet, the Bible also says don't throw the pearl to the swine. Conceal the matter. To go silent before the slaughter. Well, when am I supposed to be silent? When am I supposed to raise up my voice like a trumpet? And see, people get the word of God crossed up and they get confused. Well, man, am I supposed to be quiet? Or am I supposed to shut up? Am I supposed to walk? Am I supposed to stop? If you remember that night, the scriptures I went into, there's a time to be born and a time to die. A time to mourn and a time to laugh. Amen? So, you know, there's a time for all things. And if you're a son of God and them people in this world are in season, you know, or have a season, we, as the sons of God, are instant in season, out of season. That means I got fruit hanging on my peach tree in December and an orange hanging on my orange tree in January. You know what I'm saying? Up the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. You know what I'm saying? We don't have a winter time of our life. You know, when they wrote an article and called it the winter time of Billy Graham's life, it was just to prove to America, if the ones that had eyes to see, that he wasn't of God. Boy, that's going to get you in trouble. You think this message tonight, boy, has really caused a lot of problems. But he's the pastor of America. He didn't believe that you had to believe in the virgin birth to have salvation. That means that Jesus, the Son of Man, could have had corrupt blood in him. That's another doctrine with Jesus Christ. So what do I say? Let Billy Graham be accursed. He said he didn't know if angels were real or not. And he wrote a book about angels. But then he said, I don't know if angels are real or not. Let me tell you something, brethren. If you don't know that angels are real, you've never met the Son. Amen. Amen. And you've never entertained angels unaware. Because it's been an angel ministering to you all night tonight. And you're looking for some gleaming light out there in a dark alley or something. And you say, well, you think you're an angel? I'm a son of God. Got the angel of the Lord living and dwelling in me. Amen. And if it's no longer the minister speaking, it's the angel of Christ speaking in him. Amen. So you're entertaining an angel. Got all authority and all power to bind and to curse, to bless. Come on. That's what the Bible says. He's given that authority to us. Let me ask you this, if I'm not telling you the truth, then when Peter spoke and Ananias and Sapphira fell over dead, did he bless them or curse them? You know exactly what happened. You know, that surely wasn't a blessing when they fell over dead. Huh? Or when Paul's speaking about the man, he went blind right then. Come on now. You see, brethren, you know, we think, and I've spoken something. My pastor rebuked me because I spoke some things right out of the veil and caused people to die. And he said, Brother Robbie, you got to be careful. You can't speak like that. The man was cursing God and cursing my pastor, and I spoke. I said, you'll be reading about this guy in the newspaper, man. He'll spin his airplane right in the ground out there. And from where I was standing, where he spun his airplane in the ground, within 2 weeks, right out there in the center of the airport, the man killed himself. And Brother Pike said, you need to be careful what you say, Brother Rob. I stopped myself seven times from that exhortation. I'm dealing with things and personalities and people right now. I start to speak and I stop myself. Because they're cursing themselves into hell. There's people that you know, people that you love that are cursing themselves into hell and damnation. They got no control over their tongue. Their tongue wags all the time, flapping like an old filthy serpent all the time. And they're cursing themselves into damnation and destruction. Amen. Let's think on these things, the things from above. Amen. I know I came up a little early tonight. I wanted to have time to talk about some of these things. I hope I said something to challenge you a little bit or make you consider or examine. It does me. I may be the guy bringing the word, but I'm hearing the word and witnessing the word. Amen. And I've got to line up with this as well as you have to line up with this. Amen. The weather's been getting a lot of rain here, and I'm going to close with this thought, but you know, want to get back out here and get some of this clearing and stuff done. I'd like to get some more cleaned up and start cleaning up all the way up across here. And I don't like guys out there in the mud. And it's supposed to be raining this Saturday. Hopefully we'll get some weather. Started on the bus. I'm trying to get it squared up. I've got it. Guy I talked to today is, you know, sounds pretty much sold. And the guy is a minister. That was the desire of my heart, is to bless a ministry with it. He was going to buy it for his son, but when he told me today, he said he'd been, you know, looking and hearing and things about this. He said he's going to take this for himself, and he's going to take his and give it to his son. I trust that he'll use it for the Lord, and maybe in the time of me getting to meet him and talk to him, we might get him converted, huh? And he said, you won't give it to a false preacher? Well, you know what? Let me tell you something, brother. There's a lot of men out there that are so sincere and love God. There's men that are doctrinally correct that are lost. Listen to me. Their doctrine that they're preaching is accurate and correct. I could say there's women that dress the way women should dress. Got their hair long, got long dresses, and they look, they're not painted up like some lizard, you know, and they ain't all powdered in paint, and they look like a child of God should look. But the Bible said they're whitewashed sepulchres full of dead men's bones. Amen. A sepulcher is something the dead things are in. You know what I'm saying? They're dead on the inside. When you say, why you say that, brother? What I'm saying, brethren, is the way you dress doesn't make you holy. It's being holy makes you dress holy. But dressing holy doesn't make you holy. You could be a serpent. You know what I'm saying? The Bible said a wolf in sheep's clothing. Amen. So, you know, sheep must have some certain kind of clothing to identify them. Amen. So it's, again, line upon line, precept upon precept. Amen. But again, this guy's been watching the weather. He's wanted to come over, and he's going to spend a couple days working on it. I've tried to do some of the things that I said I wasn't going to do. I said, this is, I'm going to sell it to you like this. Basically, you come over and fix it, and this is what I'll let you have it for. And I've been fixing it. Brother Randy, come and help me, and we've been working on it. But praise God. I told my wife today, I said, I'd like to see a little bit of weather. Get out there and sand the sides off and put some fresh primer on it, and I've got the stuff here to do it, and just to bless them a little bit more. Amen. But some say, well, Brother Rom, possibly you maybe missed the Lord when you bought it because of this. And I said, well, I'll tell you this. It brought men together. We had a vision. We were pursuing, and we're doing it. We're still blessing. We had a tractor trailer. We used it to take Mexico, and we gave it to another ministry. We done it as unto the Lord, pulls people together. Brother Pike had mortar homes, boats, a lot of things. I'd never seen what they were purchased for, but it got men together. And while the men were together, they're being indoctrinated. The Bible said, you commit your works unto the Lord, your thoughts become established. People need to work and to have a vision, do something for God, for their thoughts could be established. Because unestablished thoughts is what kills you. Amen. Unestablished thoughts are double-minded thoughts. And thoughts that would be esteeming yourself as somebody special and somebody great. Well, you said you just numbered yourself with Christ tonight as one with him, Brother Rob. So it sounds like I said, no, I was dead when I numbered myself with him. You see, there's got to be a death and there has to be a resurrection. But some of you want the resurrection without death. Some of you want life without the suffering. You want to bring a child without the travail. Amen. But it don't work that way in the spiritual realm. Amen. You love the Lord? Let's stand together. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Ashley, you know you were really blessed with a wonderful mother, right? Okay, I just wanted... Brother Noah, you knew that too, didn't you? Look at her, man. She's a wonderful little sister, isn't she? She's a blessing to this work here. She's honest. She's straight. She's clean. She's faithful. She works and labors every chance she got. A lot of women that work jobs out there trying to support their family don't have time to do nothing around the house of God. And every time something's going on, but she'll be over here working. Amen. You know, the Bible said give honor who honor due. Amen. And she's always carried herself as a young lady. A nice lady. Got a good testimony within and without. Amen. And I think it's my obligation and my duty to speak and say thank you. Amen. I've got other sisters the same way here. Amen. You say, why don't you say that about me? I said, we'll get born again and I might. No. No. You guys thought I was getting a nice guy thing on me for a minute, didn't you? Huh? Amen. I tell you, you know, little boys, little girls love their mom. Even sometimes mom could be wretched, no good, and they still love them. Sometimes dad could be wretched, no good. It's something built in you to love. Amen. And I understand that. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, when you see a virtuous woman, she's not a sluggard. She's not lazy, not wasting her time. She drives like that too. Wherever she's going there to get there quick. Amen. The only complaint I've ever got about her is the neighbor down here on the corner. He said, that little gal in that white car comes flying by here. See, I was softening it up for the reproof. Yeah, I see that. Well, yes. Yeah. Now everybody's going to be following her, honking the horn. Come on, Sister Melinda. Just keep it cool to the stop sign. Make a left. Get with it, man. And amen. I'll tell you what, in driving and observing, boy, there's some little old girls driving these cars out here. I'll tell you what. Man, they're right on you, man. And, I was riding with Emmanuel one day, and this little old tiny girl, I mean, she was probably 17 years old. I don't know, but she was in a hurry to get somewhere. And she comes out to pass the car, and we're in this pickup truck, and we're coming this way on Archdale Road, and she's going towards town. And I'm looking this thing over. I said, there is no chance she's going to get around this guy. So now she's really got her foot in it. And this girl had to have been going 70 mile an hour straight head on at us. Brother Emmanuel, I think, was in the moment of whatever. I'm not sure. And I said, Brother Manny. And man, we had to hit the ditch. And this little girl, man, when we hit into the ditch, man, I watched her go right by. And boy, she just hanging on, man. You know, we would have been in a head on, man. She never applied a brake. Never thought, man, she's determined to get around. And that scares me. I'm still talking to you, Sister Melinda. No. I was a 17-year-old. I've been driving like that for a few more years, man. Well, you know, we're not into sports, but I think we're going to start a feminine NASCAR thing here. We'll just put her in there, right? Yeah. Oh, she's already in that? Okay. All right. That was a nice way to, you know, ease into a little correction, wasn't it? Do you like that, Brother Mike? Don't get too comfortable now. No. I love y'all and appreciate you. I'm the least of all of you. I'm thankful to be numbered with you. Amen. And to be numbered with Christian Temple Church and the children of God here. Brethren, let's get a hold of a vision. Let's make ourselves available. Let's press our way in. Amen. Show yourself. Whatever you think you are, show it. You know, I've lived in Missouri long enough to say the show me state. Show me. You're a son of God. Show me. Don't quote the Bible to me. Had a guy quoting the Bible to me the other day, and I said, hey, man, I'm impressed with the word I hear coming. But I said, brother, I want to hear some reports of you living it. He's back off in the world now. You know, boy, quoting the Bible, man, shining bright. This is full blast back into drugs and everything else. You know how many times I've seen that and witnessed that? If you guys wanted to take another moment and sit back down, I could start calling names right now of men that I've walked with and loved and numbered as my brothers that are supposed to be part of this revelation of Jesus Christ. John, how many do you know? Look at your brother Steve. I'm sorry, Brother John, I love you. His brother Steve would be numbered as a reprobate with the foolishness and ignorance. His brother Joe, there's two men right there. His dad, Brother George, said could have been the greatest prophet this day and time has ever seen, but he had a love for alcohol more than he did with God and made a mess of himself all through his life. You know, so that's just starting with one man. There's three that was in this doctrine that raised up, and you could sit down with any of them men, and they'd be talking to you about this doctrine, be talking like they're sons of God. Amen? And I mean, that's just the beginning of it. If I went over here to Stephanie and her husband, Andy, Andy's grandfather and dad, they're proven men. They're still there working and going. Grandfather passed away, but where's Joe at? Where's Sylvia at? Where's Carolyn at? And this doctrine is far from them. They don't want nothing to do with this doctrine. They don't want to walk in it. They don't want to talk it. They don't want to address it. And they find fault with guys like me that are trying to conform to this doctrine. Amen? And I could go on. And I can go on down the trail. And I could speak so many brothers and sisters that we love. I'm not trying to degrade them. It doesn't make me better. But it makes me frightened to see people that were raised up in this thing. What if I went to Sam back here and talked about his mother and his father and his brothers? You know, where are they at? Well, you know, they're just because they're not here, Brother Rob, don't mean they're of the devil. I didn't say this there, but where are they at in this doctrine when you see them depart from it and leave it? Come on, brethren. We're not an arrogant people. We know who we are in Christ. And we profess in Christ, not in ourself, not because we sat under a great man of God, not because we learned more than somebody else. Brethren, the more you learn, the more accountable you are, and the more accountable you are, the harder it's going to be for you to make it into the kingdom. Brother Pike would speak and say things. He said, I shudder in fear before the Lord. And he talked like, said, my God, stand before the Lord in fear that I may make it in. And you're thinking like, wow, you'd hear him speak another time, man. He knew who he was, where he was, and he said, man, I'm already there. But then you hear another side. What side was that speaking? You see, there's a soul, deliverance of a soul in here, brethren. Amen, that's laying in the balances in the second dimension. The saving of the soul. Brother Zach asked a question about this thing. You know, we speak, we profess Christ in one, and we confess man in the other. Well, which one are you, Brother Rob? I made myself twain, killing one out, redeeming. You see, it's the redeemed of the Lord. The purchased possession was redeemed at Calvary. But we haven't with the redemption yet. You know, and some think we haven't been redeemed yet. We've already been redeemed. If you're the elect of God and the Son of God, you've done been redeemed. Amen. We're the redeemed of the Lord. Amen. But we haven't with the redemption. What does that mean? It means that you'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. From mortality to immortality, and it'll be manifested to what you've always been, the Bible said. Beloved, now I am a son of God. The world can't see that. They don't look at me as a son of God. They'll mock me and crucify me, blast me, and want to kill me. But brethren, the day that this body is transfigured before them from mortal immortality, they'll see us of what we've always been, as the Bible said. We've always been the sons of God. Brethren, we profess. Not by what we see. What we see is vanity. We don't observe line boundaries. The Bible said we walk not by sight, Brother Melvin. I don't walk by what I see. I walk by faith. And faith speaks those things that are not as if they were. Faith speaks to cancer, brother. That's something that's seen, that's the vanity, and says it is not. Amen, and it becomes not. And you speak the same way about life. Well, I don't see eternal life in that man, Brother Rob. And I said, well, let's speak life into him. You keep telling me he's no good. Tell him you love him. Quit telling him he's no good. Start telling him you love him. Amen. And you be speaking something to existence. Jesus looked at me, and I know I was no good. But he said, this is my beloved son. Amen. Whom I'm well pleased. Why could he be well pleased? Because he washed me and regenerated me. And he set me apart. It's by his works, not by mine. Amen. But I got to believe what he done for me. And that's the same thing you got to do. Let your profession be in Christ. Amen. Let's sing a song, Brother Ed, and we'll close. Amen. Love you all and appreciate you. Amen.
Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face.
His
unveiled face.
It's changing me. The state of Missouri's got an organization for incarcerated veterans that they offer some help to them. And they interstate compact them from other states into Missouri to give them a relief program to help veterans. And I'm going to see if there's anything like that in North Carolina, dealing with a veteran that's been dealing with some of these guys more than several of the men we've been dealing with in prison have been veterans. And Brother Jesse Williams was a veteran. And Brother Michael Klein was a veteran, done 7 years in the Marines. And saw the last year fighting on the ground in Vietnam, finds himself incarcerated. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
Sam said that John and all his kids in Cary are also.
Yeah. Yeah. Sister Rebecca's going to stand in for John and Cary. I know they took little Levi and the doctor, and he's dealing with ear infections. Been a lot of upper respiratory things, and people been passing things around and back and forth, and she wants to stand in. Some of you brethren come in the altars. Some of you sisters can gather in the altars likewise. And we should be concerned like this about our families and friends and things, and I don't think it's hardly bypassed a household, this thing, man. It's been a pretty tough one here. And going around, amen. And here's some old brethren, and let's pray a prayer of faith, amen. We believe the word. She's wheezing. Oh, really sick. Boy, talking about Drea, she's sick. She's in her 7th month now, and let's pray that she'll bounce out of this thing very promptly, amen. Father God, as these family members stand in for their loved ones, Lord God, and we're all a family, the family of God. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that the word is yea and amen, Father. And Father God, we as men know we can do nothing within ourselves, but knowing who we are in you, Lord God, that you've anointed us, Lord God, and filled us with your spirit and your power, Lord God, because your word is real, Father. You sent the Holy Ghost into this world, Lord God, to fill us with the power. Father, the power over sickness and disease, Lord God. And just as we read tonight about Jesus going to the man, 38 years laying there in Bethesda, Father, we rebuke this sickness and we know where it came from. We rebuke it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ right now. And Father God, we ask that the virtue move through these families, Lord God. We're tired of this sickness. We're tired of the prayer requests. We're tired of the testimonies of the afflictions in each house. And we're rebuking it right now in the name of Jesus. And we call it to a stop now in Jesus Christ's name. Father, we ask for a great healing virtue to go through the homes and let these people be freed from this sickness right now in Jesus Christ's name. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that our prayers are heard, that we come boldly to the throne and petitioning you, Lord God. And you've promised in your word that our petitions are granted before we ask. And I thank you that they were answered at Calvary, Lord God. I thank you, Father, that I feel your virtue, Lord God, going and ministering right now, Father. And I praise you, Lord God, that we could call upon your word, your name, and your salvation and your power in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Expect a good report. Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, it's changing me. It's changing me.
Well, hello, Curly Top.
It's changing.
What you gonna look away for? Get a smile some way or another. I will get just me to smile some way or another.
This has been my favorite 101. I went to the doctors and they said it was a viral thing. So
yeah. Did you find that little bug too, huh? Did that little bug trying to get you too? Amen. Let me get some more. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Said she's been running a low-grade fever. That's her little body learning to fight, amen. We'll punch that old bug right in the forehead, won't we? Father, I thank you for this little sister, Lord God. I thank you for health. I thank you for strength. Father, I thank you that nothing can harm her. Father God, we thank you in Jesus Christ's name, Lord God, that this baby will fight this little bug off. Father, and we're asking for a healing, yes, but we're also thanking you for this body wonderfully made, Lord God, that you're going to help this little baby in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hey, you ain't going to fight me for praying for you. You better smile. I can give mean looks too. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Light of the glory of His unveiled face. The light.
When you can look at your brother and see the unveiled face of the Lord, you're coming to something. The Bible said, you know, you pass from death unto life because you love the brethren. Amen. That scripture's in there for a reason. Some people have a problem with loving the brethren. You know, I'm thinking, wow, what a terrible place for a man to be. It's a gross place to be. Amen. We got to learn to see through our Father's eyes. Amen. You say, well, you teach us, Brother Rob, that we have the authority and the power to judge. Then we judge all things. I say, yes, but you got to know how to rend the veil between the man and the Christ, between the Son of Man and the Son of God. And you got to be careful. Amen. Sometimes you look at a big, tall man and you think, well, he's a man. He might be a little, tiny infant in Christ. And you got to love him and help him, take him by the hand and lead him. Amen. What's up, Miss Sister Thomas? How are you? And who?
Madison.
Madison. Which Madison is this? Your mom? I heard a report about Aunt Madison. Sounds like she needs to get born again, don't she? Is that what you asked me to pray for, her born again? What are you asking me to do for Aunt Madison? I mean, you come here asking me if she's sick or if she needs to get born again or both. Huh? Both? Okay, we're not pray for that. Let me show you how we pray for that. Lord Jesus, as this little girl has come forward concerned for her aunt, and if, Father, according to the understanding that I've heard, Lord, she needs to be born again. And Father, the Bible said, them that suffer in the flesh cease from sin. So, Father God, I'm asking to turn the suffering on until she repents of her sin, Lord God, and bows her knees. The Bible said, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. And, Father, I ask you to shake her, Lord God. Let her have no peace. Let her be miserable, Lord, in sin and hate the wages of sin, God, until she repents and gets born again. In Jesus Christ's name. I thank you, Lord God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, I'm expecting Aunt Madison to get saved. Amen. Hallelujah. She might have to go through a little suffering before she gets there, but praise God. Amen. And he said, be careful how you pray, Brother Rob. You might bring suffering on yourself. I said, yes, I have. Amen. And I praise God and rejoice. Amen. He's equipping with a mind to suffer. Amen. That I could perfect the righteousness of Christ in the earth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all love the Lord?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's good, isn't he?
Amen.
What kind of church you wander into over here, Brother Mike? Yeah. Amen. There's some wonderful brethren out there in wonderful churches. Some may never see this, and by the grace of God and the mercy of the Lord, sin won't be imputed to them without a knowledge thereof. Amen. Some are walking in blindness, following blind leaders. But brethren, we know that in the end time, gross darkness is going to come over this earth. And as I said, while they're looking for the Antichrist, he's already taken their world over. He's taken their churches over. There isn't anything he ain't taken over in this time. He's controlling the satellites, all the religious institutions. He's got them. The government, he's got them. He's got them all. Amen. Most definitely the education. I tell you, man, our colleges are bringing forth some of the... Paul said, I'd have you not to be ignorant, but I'm telling you what, I've never seen such a display of ignorance in all my life. We got some woman we're putting in as one of our lawmakers, a Muslim woman, and she's cursing Israel. The president asked for her to step down, but she's cursing Israel, man, and she hates America and spinning her testimonies, and we got people ignorant enough in our nation to vote a woman like that, and now she sits in our Congress meetings with a voice and a mouthpiece and a microphone, and one of the congressmen stood up and said, do I have to listen to this? Do I have to sit here and listen to this kind of foolishness? I like what Brother Pike said. He said, you know, the old farmers and the old timers, they would have showed up at the White House with some pitchforks and run them slap out of there. Amen. We need to get some men back in our nation. Got a little backbone. But nowadays, I'm telling you, America's birthing the biggest bunch of sissified men that ever was. They're little snowflakes, and don't offend me, you know, this and that. And they're so offended, nobody could say nothing. They're offended, they're offended, they're offended. They ain't men. They're sissies. You know, they haven't decided to be a man yet. They let some college teach them, well, we're discerned. Well, they just need to make up their mind. They're a bunch of sissies. Amen? A bunch of little feminine crybaby. Never mind. I can't find the words to express what I feel in my heart, you know, without offending you. Amen. We'll stop at that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Lord's good, isn't he? Brother Noah, would you dismiss us tonight, little brother? Could you do that? Come on up. I love you all. God bless you. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.